Throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Beverly Hills, that's where we are today.
Whoa, do we have Weezer on as a guest today?
Yes. Hi, I'm Rivers Cuomo.
Hi, Rivers.
Hey.
Hi, Mr. Cuomo.
Do you listen to my band?
Yeah, Buddy Hall. Yeah, I love it.
Cool.
I love the Blue Album.
We're in Beverly Hills today, which is exciting because we're sitting in the home of actress and director Castile Landon.
All right.
Yay.
Thanks for being on the show. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you. Thanks for responding to my tweet.
Was it Twitter or was it Instagram?
It was Twitter.
Okay.
No, I harassed you on Instagram for a while, and then I was like, time to escalate this to the next level. Yeah. So then I went to Twitter.
Yeah. Your Twitter game's just really on point.
Against your better judgment, you decided to let us come over.
Exactly.
So thanks for having us.
Yeah, we haven't killed you yet, right?
No, not yet.
I think you're creeping her out.
Yeah,
man.
No, it happens at the end of the show, right?
She knows.
We won't tell you when it happens.
Okay.
She's a Hollywood starlet. She knows she dies at the end. Spoiler alert. You have all kinds of cool stuff happening right now. But we should start at the beginning.
I was born a baby.
Nice.
Me too.
Oh,
cool. Yeah.
What was that
twist.
Like?
It was good. It was
cool. Where are you from?
Florida.
Nice.
What part of Florida?
Like Tampa area.
Okay, so the left side.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah.
What made you decide to come out here?
Initially acting, and then I came out when I was like 15. I just moved out here, and then
you just moved out here when you were 15.
Yeah.
Wow.
With anyone or just on your own?
No, on my own. And
wait, you're allowed to do that?
Well, my mom's really cool.
Wow,
the coolest.
Seriously.
And I had like a friend who was at the time, I think she was like 24, and she was like my chaperone, so she drove me places because I couldn't drive.
Right.
And then to my Disney auditions.
Nice.
and then I went to school and then came back and started directing or like focusing on writing and directing and stuff.
Where'd you go to school?
At Harvard.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of Harvard.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that.
There's a lot of great writers that come from Harvard, too. I mean...
Yeah,
well, they've got the Harvard Lampoon, which is big.
Yeah. Did you take writing courses there?
My degree's
as well?
In English, so there was a lot of writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're like smart.
Maybe.
Smart-ish.
Yeah. So, I mean, as smart as you can be when you're like, yeah, I went to Harvard and now I'm acting.
Well,
yeah,
and writing and directing.
Yeah. Right? Well, now we're going further. Yeah.
Did you know that you wanted to write stuff for like TV and film, or was it just kind of a I'm just gonna get a degree in English and see where this takes me?
I just really like reading, actually.
Oh,
like
you don't need a degree in that.
No, you don't. But I mean, you know, like I didn't have any idea what I wanted to do. So as far as like, because I didn't plan on ever using my degree, so it was like, what can I do that interests me? So I like focused on Shakespearean studies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you perform as well?
No, I didn't. I mean, I've done a couple performances, but mostly it was on Shakespearean literature as opposed to performance.
Okay. What is your favorite Shakespearean play?
So my favorite...
To put you on the spot.
No, I have an answer for this.
She went to Harvard. She can handle this.
All right.
I love Richard III. That's my favorite because he's so diabolical, and I just am obsessed with his character. But I think the best one is Hamlet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
I can relate to Hamlet.
All right.
Hamlet's amazing. I mean, it's just the whole thing is poetry all the way through, right? But he's not quite as diabolical as Richard III, so.
How many times have you read Hamlet?
Oh, a lot. If you went around my house, you'd probably see like maybe 5 different versions of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see all the Shakespeare.
Those are just like the little ones. Oh, there's Hamlet.
You've got Othello and...
Yeah, and then I have a whole shrine basically by my, like upstairs in my room.
Uh-huh.
Not that I mean to have a Shakespearean shrine.
It's a little creepy,
by my
but
bed,
go ahead.
But whatevs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first time I read Hamlet, I read it like cover to cover. Like I sat down and read it in one sitting, and it was
that's pretty impressive.
I had to for school.
Oh. Yeah.
But it was worth it, right?
It was worth it.
Yeah.
I liked it. So then you came out to LA after that, and what was your was your drive?
What was your like first audition like?
My first audition. I feel like when I first started auditioning, it was for like these seedy little things that you find online out here.
Okay.
And
you definitely
even,
needed your chaperone with you there, right?
Oh, for sure. I remember one time I like sent out all of it because like you don't realize when you move out here what you're actually supposed to do. So you buy a book and like they just kind of bullshit with you. Can I say
right.
that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You can curse as much
and,
as you. Just no end bombs.
So we... I like sent out all of these headshots and resumes and one of them got stolen out of the dumpster of like an actually legitimate agency. And they, and we didn't realize that at the time they, I got a call to go to some like place in Compton. And so we drove down there and it's like,
city of Compton.
It's like, but it wasn't called Compton. Like the address didn't say Compton. So we didn't
sure.
realize and I was
right.
brand new here.
It was just like Los Angeles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
yeah.
Very vague.
Yeah.
And we drove down there and it was like this little strip mall and it, to call it a strip mall would really be like glorifying it actually. But it was like a hole in the wall, like a little Mexican restaurant kind of deal. And we sat in the parking lot for a little while, my 24-year-old chaperone and I. And then we left because we realized that...
Oh, you didn't actually go in.
I didn't go in. There were, like, these old men sitting outside the front of it, as you do, with,
yeah.
like, little Mexican restaurant hole in the walls.
Right.
Uh-huh. And we were like, this is probably not an agency. And it was also, like, 8 o'clock at night, so I'm not really sure what we were thinking.
That's yeah, a little weird. Yeah.
Not great judgment there.
Lesson learned.
Well,
yeah.
really good judgment to not go in.
This is true.
Yeah.
yeah. That would have just been like a horror film.
Yeah.
Don't go in the Mexican restaurant.
That would have been the last decision you ever made, probably.
It's cool that you're alive still.
It yeah. is, yeah. It's a testament to I don't know what.
Not going into that Mexican restaurant.
How yeah. was your second audition? Or one that is
or
memorable.
Third,
a memorable one.
Yeah.
They all kind of blend together. You know,
yeah.
they're like, you have to learn a bunch of things. Commercial ones are the funniest and the like least gratifying because you're like, anyone, a monkey could do this. You know, and
yeah.
they like tell you 10 different things. You have to just like throw a ball, and it's like all. Miming, basically. It's
right.
very strange. I think the whole process of auditioning is very surreal.
Well, for commercial work, it's more of the way you look or how you look, right?
Yeah.
For the most part?
Yeah.
It's not
but
really
now,
your acting ability.
You know, it's really interesting. It's not at all your acting ability. I mean,
yeah.
it's kind of like how well you take direction, I guess. But now with, like, diversity initiatives,
mm-hmm.
they don't know what they want. You'll go in
mm-hmm.
there and, you know, I'm... Like, you see me. And then there's, like... an old African-American man and like
oh really
like some Asian and like all of these different and it doesn't matter like gender like race nothing
yeah
age it's all just like throw it against the wall and let's see what sticks so it's really interesting there. I mean that doesn't happen so much in TV and film.
How good does it feel though when you're the one that sticks to the wall?
I've never booked a commercial.
Oh
yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
No, I feel really bad.
No, it's okay.
So what about, what was the first gig that you got like? Do you remember that?
Mm. The first gig that I got was a television show on on HBO called Tell Me You Love Me. And I think it was on for like a season, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like this little co-star role on there. And I remember I said like, she is such a bitch. And I was like 15 and I was like, I get to curse and my mom can't do anything about it.
She let you move to LA when you're 15,
but like,
dropping the B word.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time it airs, you need to put a quarter in the swear jar.
Yeah.
But actually, so I went, that was like, I think maybe that was sometime in the fall and I was home for Thanksgiving when it aired and my family was all watching and we didn't read the script And it's like softcore porn this entire show. I mean, my scene was in a Baskin Robbins, but like it's for sure softcore porn. The rest of it, everybody's just like got their hands on their heads.
Your grandparents are like sitting there, yeah. What the hell?
Yeah, exactly. Have I done? That was a good one. Actually, the director though was Rodrigo Garcia, who went on to do Albert Nobbs and like some really cool movies. So I was like, really excited.
So once you've booked one thing, is it kind of like, all right, now I've got the momentum, I can do more of these? And I mean, do you feel a little better about going into it? Oh, so that's not
right?
the case.
That's
I don't
what
know.
They say is like,
I've never
it's
booked
a
an audition
ladder.
Either.
You know, you like do a couple of these and then you, and that's like, not my experience.
Like it didn't boost your confidence of having something on your resume now?
I mean, no, because like still, I go in, I've done leads in movies, and then I'll get an audition across town for like one line, or not even one line. It's like a co-star role, but that doesn't even have a line. They just want to see
nice.
You, that
okay.
kind of a thing. And you're like, A, why are you offering to spend $800 instead of spending $150 for an extra?
Yeah.
And B, like, I've done leads in several movies at this point. Like, it doesn't seem to translate. But that's because movies don't translate to TV.
Right.
Or film doesn't. You know? TV is, like, very formulaic, where they want you to have, like, a certain number of co-stars before you get to your guest stars, before you get to your, you know.
Yeah.
You get it.
Right.
You guys work in TV, you know how it is.
Yeah, we're kind of pros at this point.
Yeah.
So then what was that like doing a lead in a film versus some smaller stuff?
Yeah, is it like an audition process or like how did you get into that?
Everything I have booked in films is through people I know.
Okay.
Nice.
So is it do you even go in for an audition or do they already know that you're the girl?
Most of the time I don't audition for those things. I'll meet with the directors and stuff like that, but most of the time, yeah, they just know me, and so I book stuff that way. And most of my friends, it's like that too, which is kind of strange.
It's a redhead thing, I'm telling you. Like Lizzie.
Have you heard that?
Yeah.
What?
Have you heard that before?
No, I'm just saying it.
Oh, okay.
He's just making the observation.
Yeah.
We did a movie on the same thing. We had a friend, we were like, she'd be perfect for it. And
yeah.
There you go.
I think writers write with someone in mind and direct. Like in film,
right.
Your writer is usually your director in independent film
a
lot of the time. So they write with you in mind, and then lo and behold, you get the role.
Yeah, right. Which is always nice.
Yeah.
So what's the experience been like just being on set for a feature?
I mean, they're all so different, right? Like, it completely depends. I actually don't think it has anything to do with the budget. It really has something to do with the budget, but it's weird how, like, some environments you can go into and, like, it'll be really, really low budget, but everybody's super friendly and, like, willing to be all hands on deck, and that's great. And then other times you'll be, like, on a much more expensive set, and everybody's bitching and moaning about craft services, and so it's
that's
like
me,
Sloppy Joe's again,
yeah.
Really?
Seriously,
come
three
on.
Nights in a row,
yeah,
yeah. Well, craft services is a big deal.
It is. If there's one thing people have to spend money on, it's the food.
Yeah, I remember when I was in film school, we took a producing class, and we walked in on the first day, and the teacher had written on the board, "Feed the fucking crew."
Yeah,
and that he was like, "If you take one thing away from this semester." Cool.
That's it.
Done. Well, yeah, because like everything else on a set could be like a favor that, you know, either you owe someone or someone owes you.
Yeah.
But there's no corners you could cut with food, with either lunch, dinner, or craft, because it's like you don't know a guy that could get you free food, or you know, and
it's like, grandma, bring your food truck down to set.
Unless you come from a family of farmers, and they're like, yeah, take as many tomatoes as you want. You know?
If I was on a set where there were just tomatoes to eat, I'd be so pissed.
No, but it's different variety. Like, there's salsa, right?
Oh.
There's
ketchup, maybe.
Ketchup, right?
Yeah. Cool.
There's tomato soup.
This is what you're here to talk about, right?
Yeah.
So you recently directed a movie.
You're in the editing phase, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's that film called?
It's called Albion, Rise of the Danann.
Okay, and you co-wrote that? Is that the case?
Yeah, I wrote the first draft.
Okay.
And then brought in another writer, and then brought in a third writer.
All right.
And we wrote that. I wrote the first draft September of last year.
Okay.
And wow. We went into production in February. And
that's insane.
That's yeah. really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happened really quickly. And then we wrapped in June, and now we're...
So how, I mean, this is like a huge thing. How did this all come together and so quickly?
It's really weird because we greenlit it. I found, you know, producing partners, and we greenlit it. And then it just kind of, I mean, to some extent took on a life of its own.
Right.
Because, like, realistically, a lot of little pieces had to fall in place along the way to actually culminate in something, in what it did end up being. But, yeah, we got... We signed our first actor, who is Jennifer Morrison, who was kind of like a favor because she's a really good friend of one of the writers. Or not a favor, but like she would read it because
mm-hmm.
they're friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she liked it, and so she signed on. And then once we had her, I think people took it a little bit more legitimately.
Yeah.
Because I'm a first-time director, so mm-hmm. and I'm young, and so I think initially there was a little bit of hesitancy. But at the same time, it's kind of a genre that a lot of people want right now,
mm-hmm.
and very few filmmakers are willing to make. You know, a lot of people want to make serious Sundance dramas, and that's what I like to watch. But that's tough to compete in that marketplace.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So were your producing partners like putting up money for it, or how did you guys?
They
fund it.
They raised. Funding
okay.
like, independently.
Wow.
It's always yeah. a good thing.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part usually
yeah.
for films is raising the money. And
yeah.
Yeah.
But we were in kind of a unique situation because we had, you know, we shopped the script around initially. I was just going to sell it as a script.
Mm-hmm.
And every distributor that we shopped it to offered to put up money.
Wow. So, that's a good sign.
Great yeah. script then.
Well, and yeah. and it's really the genre.
Yeah,
like,
you don't yeah. hear that often.
Family content.
What is the genre? I mean, kind of what's the story?
It's a fairy tale, and it stars a 12-year-old girl and a horse. And so it's, like, perfect for any kids. Like, anyone right. can watch it.
Yeah.
Who
played the horse?
A horse.
A horse.
Okay. A horse did, yeah.
Cool.
Mr. Ed.
that was my father. It was just Ed.
Just call me Ed. Right.
So they were shopping it around, and everybody seemed to like it.
Yeah.
When did your name develop as the director and along that
path? I don't know how that happened, really.
Yeah, just,
I
mean, it just happened? Just like,
yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because I wasn't trying to direct it initially. When I wrote it, I wasn't necessarily trying to direct it, but as a writer, you know... what the story you're trying to tell, right? And
mm-hmm.
And I think at the end of the day, to be perfectly honest, it was a money thing. Like, they could get me to do it for basically nothing.
Oh,
and
okay.
Yeah.
yeah.
You're doing two roles for one paycheck. Necessary. I mean,
three, because I'm like one of the leads.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez. How is it directing while you're acting?
That was really hard.
Yeah, I imagine.
What did you do? I mean, did you have like a first AD that was calling action and cut, or would you know? Do you run over to the village and look at the takes afterwards, or
yeah,
turn to yourself in a mirror and be like, do it better.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Yeah.
Well, I wrote the role like basically, the role is me, so mm-hmm. it wasn't that part wasn't that tough, but keeping an eye on where everyone is because there's some action in it and. And yeah, so I had a producing, one of the producers was a, it's like a creative producer and he directed before and he also helped write the script. So, when I was working as an actor, he would be on the monitor. He was also in the nice. Movie though. So that also.
Oh. Are there like four names in the credits?
Exactly.
It's like Ed Castile.
Yeah.
I don't know where the Ed
is
got the
horse.
First billing.
Yeah.
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 You guys
no, yeah,
have a director off?
Or
you'd like direct each other. It's like, hey, yeah. I have a note for you. You're like, oh yeah, I have a note for you too.
You know what? Sometimes that kind of stuff happens when you're like, your ego gets in the way and you're like, I should just take a second.
Did you shoot it here?
No, we shot it in Bulgaria.
Wow.
Holy
yeah.
crap.
Well, we shot 21 days in Bulgaria and 4 days in Michigan and 5 days in Florida.
What's up, Michigan?
Are you from Michigan?
I'm from Indiana.
Big Rapids.
I've heard close enough.
Grand Rapids? Yeah.
Big Rapids. Not to be confused with Grand Rapids.
Okay, where's Big Rapids?
It's like an hour away from Grand Rapids and like very cold, much like all of Michigan.
It's further down the rapid.
Yeah.
5 hours from my hometown.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah.
It's about 10 miles upstream from No Rapids.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's cool.
Always on.
Yeah.
Wow. What was the process like of having to go to Bulgaria? I mean, that's a big, just from a producing level, to go and figure out all the logistics. And
do you ship people out? Do you get equipment there? Like, how do you...
Do you learn the language? Yeah. I don't know what it is.
A carne? I don't actually know what a carne is, but apparently it's like some sort of shipping method. And I've heard that a million times now because apparently it's a real pain in the ass. But yeah, we brought a couple people. I brought my DP, my producers, all the actors came from here. But we had a production company in Bulgaria that is on Millennium's lot. And they, like, basically everyone on my set came straight off of Expendables. Oh. So they're pretty legit. They know what they're doing.
They seem to.
And you know, I was really concerned that, like, being this little, like, 5'2" person, woman director, that, like, because it's Eastern Europe, people, like, there's a tendency to assume that they're, like, misogynistic.
Right.
They were wonderful.
Oh.
They were, like, very protective.
That was delightful.
Yeah. The crew was so awesome.
So was it a Bulgarian, hold on, you said they came off the Expendables. Does that mean, like, people from America that are still in Bulgaria from the Expendables, or Bulgarians that worked on the Expendables?
No, they're all Bulgarians.
Got it. Okay.
You get some kind of tax break by using locals, I'm imagining.
Well, you're not paying very much to use the locals to begin with.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like Sherpa.
Yeah.
What do they speak in Bulgaria?
Bulgarian.
Oh, I'm a dumbass.
Everyone gets one.
It's funny because, like, they're like, "It's no problem." So we went on our scout. They don't know what you're saying.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, that's exactly it. They smile and nod, and you're like, "But wait, are you actually hearing what I'm saying?" And
the camera's on fire. It's no problem.
Yeah. This 4K or 2K?
2.6.
I have no idea what a Bulgarian accent
is. It sounds like that. It seems Russian.
Close enough, then.
Yeah.
Right?
We went for our scout, though, in November, and we picked this location. It was a lake, and we went back to shoot in May, and the lake had dropped, like, 15 feet.
Oh, boy.
And because I guess there was, like, a dam, and they were trying to let the snow run off. And I was like, gosh, it would really be so much better if the lake was back where we wanted it, because it's really unattractive now. And they're like, "It's no problem. We talk. We find out. We get it for you." We went back, like, a week later to shoot. It was raised.
What?
Jeez.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Film Bulgaria.
Yeah, I mean, Bulgaria is awesome.
How did you decide that that's where you were going to go?
So I wanted to shoot overseas.
Right.
Because I love traveling, and what better way to travel than to have a job?
Yeah.
So we knew that, and initially we wanted to go to Scotland because it looks very majestic and otherworldly, but
it's true.
It was way too expensive. And so we just Googled, like, what places were not expensive to shoot in.
Wow.
And Bulgaria came up.
Did you have the same horse in every continent that you shot on, or a different horse?
We've shipped the horse from Michigan.
That's pretty awesome.
Are you serious?
Holy crap.
Yeah, we did.
What is that process like?
So does Ed fly first class?
Oh, yeah. These horses definitely got better treatment than anyone on set.
So do they have to, when you're shooting overseas, do they need to have, like, a representative of their local animal authority of some kind, like we do here?
Oh, like an
ASPCA type person?
No.
They're just
they
like, we don't give a shit.
No,
you can make it
into, like, glue, and they wouldn't care.
Cool.
Just make sure we don't find out about
And we're
it.
Back to eating glue.
Yeah.
Full circle.
The crew is fed.
Or no, what's that deli meat that's made out of horse?
Horse meat?
That's it.
That's amazing.
So do they have their own plane, or is it like do they ship them?
Yeah. Can we get the horse on the podcast? Is the real reason we're here?
Like yeah, a shipping exactly.
Container? I don't know.
Yeah, they have. I mean, they ship them on
sorry.
on airplanes, and we had to bring two just in case one got injured.
A backup sure.
In case yeah. one dies.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what's amazing about horses is like these are the best trained horses in the world, basically. And they're really, they're great. But at the same time, and that was what was in my head when we were, like, casting these horses, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, this is going to be no problem. Yeah, no. Like, they're still really difficult to deal, like, to,
sure.
to handle.
Sure,
they're
yeah.
animals. They're basically wild animals. I mean, I know they are domesticated, but it's, when you walk up to them and you these are huge horses, right? And they're, like, very hot. So you walk up to them and it's like an orca, you know, where like
yeah.
they kind of have domesticated them for their SeaWorld shows, but like
right.
they may also eat you.
Right,
they are killer whales.
Yeah, yeah. exactly.
Yeah.
It's in the name.
Horses yeah. want to run.
They so. Will definitely
Africanized horses. Killer horses.
Yeah, they will run sorry. Over you for sure.
reaching there.
Yeah.
So filming in Bulgaria, I feel like that's ripe for opportunity for horror stories.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
did things go wrong in Bulgaria?
Well,
it's no problem.
yeah, or did the camera catch
on like, it's no problem.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Are you crazy? Or just playing stupid?
The f*** are you doing?
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
The first day of the day before filming, our DP went down. He got sick.
He got dead.
He had gastroenteritis.
Oh, like sick.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that was terrifying. And also Jennifer Morrison, who shot the first day, was like stuck in an airport somewhere. I can't remember wherever her layover was. And this is the day before filming. We had to bring in another Bulgarian DP, and our DP luckily was actually able to, like, he was in a wheelchair on set. This was at the lake location, so people were like wheeling him around, and he was working in conjunction with this other DP from
Jeez.
Bulgaria, but who was on Expendables as well. But like, you just don't know what you're going to get, right? Like,
right.
your DP is your right-hand man.
Yeah.
So that was pretty terrifying going into it. And also, the kid fell off the horse a bunch, which is just...
A bunch?
Yeah.
I feel like once would be enough for me.
Are there people just standing by with foam pads just, like, throwing it under the horse if they see the kid start,
oh,
like,
oh, come on,
teetering?
We're shooting in Bulgaria.
So, no.
Yeah.
Wait, but you were like, oh, well, our DP is sick, but we have a backup Bulgarian DP just on speed dial.
we got
backup kids.
But, just yeah. Like, oh, we couldn't find one.
Did we break another one?
He's a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
He's no problem.
He's a big problem.
All of a sudden,
he's kid octuplet.
Your lead has like a cast. That's no good. Yeah.
Let me just put it on the other side of the horse. You'll never see it. Were you just stoked to be in that process and doing that? And I mean, people are like, oh, I did a little indie movie and I shot it in my living room. But to go to Bulgaria.
Yeah, like, I went to fucking Bulgaria.
Yeah.
I was in the shit.
Yeah.
You had John Cleese in it?
Yeah, John's in it.
Wow, John Cleese, go.
he's a character.
Tell us all about him.
Yeah.
How did you get him?
He lives upstairs.
We had...
Ah, he's the roommate.
He's my roommate, guys.
That's his copy of Catch 22.
John, we sent it to his people, and... our casting director was like, there's no chance he doesn't leave his house for under $1 million. And we're like, okay, well, we're just going to send it to him. And he called me, and he was like, I really like it. And
John Cleese just called you on the phone.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, I had my phone. I was like, freaking out. Like, nobody can see my
yeah,
face right now. But, like,
she was freaking
I was
out.
Freaking out. Because he has such a distinctive voice, and you just know. And he's like, Castile, and I'm like, yes, it's John. okay.
John Hill. Yeah.
I do your movie. It's no problem. That's my John Cleese impression.
John Cleese is Bulgarian.
Pretty spot on. Yeah. That's how good of an actor he is.
Yeah, and he's like, I want to be even more disgusting than I already look. I'm going to shave my head. I'm like, okay, great. He's like, I'm going to bring a lot of different pairs of disgusting teeth as well. Okay, great, whatever you want to do.
I'm going to self-mutilate.
The script doesn't require it, sure.
Yeah, he went above and beyond, as with everything. I mean, the scenes are just, like, he's fantastic.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
Jeez, when can we see this movie?
Yeah, what the hell?
Probably next fall.
Oh.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In America, or will we have to go to Bulgaria?
I will go to
It'll
Bulgaria.
It'll only be in Bulgaria, guys.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, you guys want
to know
carpool?
I think it's
a booming market to sell your film.
No VOD, nothing like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe rethink your business plan. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to.
No, it's no problem.
I'm going to start saying that at work from now on.
It's no problem.
It instills confidence.
Yeah.
Like, I believe you. No
You
problem.
Know what's amazing?
For some
they
reason.
They get things done, though, when they have that kind of mentality. They do just, like, manage.
That's like, I don't know. It reminds me a little bit of Christian.
I was just going
to
say.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
We have a friend who's just kind of.
He's from Romania.
He's from Romania.
Oh, it's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Close enough.
Yeah.
And
it's like, yeah,
just
we'll,
sort of,
we'll figure it
I remember
out.
The first day I met him when we were
he
doing.
He says it's no problem.
When we were doing Heart, he was just like, "Okay, you're all idiots. Okay, here's what we have to do." And I'm like, "All right." And he kind of intimidated me a little bit, but I just stood back and I let him do his thing. And the film looks terrible, but I believed in him the whole time.
But he made
fantastic.
Me feel good about.
Yeah,
it
I felt great
did.
About it. He's a big cuddly man. I love him. He's my teddy bear.
It's like the exact Sorry. Opposite of big studio productions here, because
yeah.
they're like, oh, no, that's going to be a problem. And you're like,
yeah.
I asked you to move one thing. What do you mean that's a problem? Well, we got to have the Teamsters in here. And,
yeah.
Like, and you're like, can we just,
OSHA's
like,
up our ass.
Yeah. yeah. I'm like, let's just move this Apple box out of the way.
Yeah. yeah. You're not in the union.
The scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like, you can't touch that.
That's
like, I'm going to touch it. Okay?
I do that. I walk around and I tell people to stop touching C-stands at work. Don't touch that. You'll get sued.
Yeah. You'll get that workers' comp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say, was there a premiere yesterday or for something?
Oh, yeah. I had a horror film that I was in.
But you went to London. Was London like the premiere?
London was the UK premiere.
Okay.
And that was at a film festival. Oh, I don't remember what it's called.
Let me just pull up
Fright
your Instagram.
Fest, maybe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So we went to Fright Fest in London, and then... it got bought domestically by After Dark Films,
mm-hmm.
and they have a thing called 8 Films to Die For, and so we did that last night, the
Sweet.
Premiere. Yeah.
Tell us about the horse in that movie. I assume you only work with horses.
Yeah, no, I only
it's
work
dead.
With horses. It's dead. Everything in that movie dies and becomes
awesome.
A zombie.
Wow.
Spoiler alert.
Ooh, I'm into it.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Did you say zombies?
Yeah, horse zombies.
Even better.
I don't care that you're lying. I still want to, I'm into it. So what's that movie about?
It's about a...
It's called Windwalkers, right?
Yeah. It,
okay.
There's like a Native American spiritual through line, which is really cool. But it's about a soldier that comes home with PTSD, and then he goes on a hunting trip. Because, you know, if you have PTSD, like, let's give you
yeah.
a gun.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
know.
A good thing to do.
Yeah.
Let's
exactly.
do a little bit of that.
America.
Give someone skittish of a life
yeah.
killing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. So that's what happens. And then, lo and behold, like, people start dying. And,
He's the first one that they think of. He must have done it.
Yeah, they think it's him.
No, I don't know.
But really, he's the one that knows how to track
the it's
Sorry,
the
I'm
horse.
Excited.
Maybe, yeah. It, but really, it's the horse, exactly.
It's the horse doing it. She said they were scary looking.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Was it fun doing a horror movie? Did you get to scream?
It was. You know, I didn't scream.
Okay.
It's although fine. I wish I had. I got to scream. I did an episode of Criminal Minds, and I got to scream a lot in that. So
really?
I have. I am on camera screaming a lot.
Do they send you to scream camp?
Yes. Yeah. There was
it's
like a
exactly
whole
how I thought it worked.
Acting Yeah.
It's like for a full week, right?
Exactly.
And
just
they like
nothing
to
They
but put
screaming.
You up in like the Oakwoods, right?
Yeah.
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 I knew,
yes.
I knew that's
Tell
how
us
how
about
worked.
The food at scream camp. There is none, hence
just,
the screaming.
It's just hot dogs and french fries.
And Gatorade.
Gross.
And Gatorade.
Just like every other horror set.
You're a vegan, though, right? So,
okay. I mean...
Is that bad to say? I don't know. Is that the offensive term for it?
What, vegan?
Yeah. What's the PC term?
I mean, I said that to someone, right? But and I do, I follow like a vegan diet, but I don't say that I'm like a vegan because I wear leather and I occasionally.
I thought it was just the food thing. I thought it was just the food part of it that made you a vegan.
Well,
I don't know. You're not allowed to like.
Maybe. I mean, there's like an altruistic component, right?
A what?
Like an altruistic component of being vegan, and so I don't really like. It's just a diet thing for me. It's not a it's not like a save the animals. I mean, great, I love animals, but like that's not, I don't judge people for eating
but
animals.
But you ate a horse in Bulgaria.
Well, funny thing is,
you gotta use every part of the body, right?
We ordered horse tartare the day before production.
Really?
Horse tartare?
A couple days before.
Oh, yeah. What? Only in Bulgaria.
Yeah, which, you know what, I have to say, because I don't eat meat, I didn't realize what tartare was.
I don't
even
it's like a cold.
It's just raw meat.
So you're eating raw horse.
I didn't actually end up eating it, but I would have eaten it had it not been raw. I was like, this is a good idea just to like mess with everybody else because they were getting really offended that I was going to eat a horse before
that's
making a horse movie.
Don't fuck with me. And then
you
eat a horse.
Exactly.
Send a message to the horse.
Yeah.
You know, you fuck up.
And that was the joke.
Tartare.
That was definitely the joke during the whole production. But it showed up and it was raw. And so it's like basically if you had like a ground beef just in front, that's disgusting. I couldn't do it. It smelled, it was horrible.
Okay.
But Ryan ate it, one of the producers, he tried it.
Good.
Yeah.
Well,
and he's still alive.
He's still alive. And unfortunately.
Have you talked to him today?
No.
Well.
Yeah,
right,
who knows?
Maybe it's slow-acting poison, right?
Yeah, 6 months later.
Really slow. Really slow.
Did they, I mean, I know this is going a little off topic, but did they have like weird food aside from that that you tried out?
The food was amazing.
In Bulgaria?
Oh my gosh, the best craft services I've ever had on any
really?
Set.
Really?
Did not
Nutella?
Expect to hear that.
No,
I did not at all.
And I'm very picky on set. I usually bring all of my own food, so like.
You're describe the spread like. Plate by plate, if you could.
If you.
Are you hungry? Is that why?
I'm a little hungry.
It was just really good. I mean, they had like normal stuff, you know?
Normal Bulgarian stuff?
Yeah, like.
Like schnitzel and, and hummus? Hummus?
They do have hummus. They have like a lot of cucumber sauce kind of stuff.
Oh, I like cucumbers.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's very Mediterranean and it was good. They, like, everybody was super excited about it. So, and they also had like vending machine things where you could buy like any candy bar you wanted or any drink you wanted, you could just get, and everything's so cheap that it was like perfect.
Oh, dope.
Yeah.
It's good to kind of expand your horizons when it comes to your palate.
Yeah.
Like when we did, when we were in England and we ate black pudding.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What's black pudding
it's
made out of?
Dried pig's blood.
Yeah.
Ooh.
They sometimes call it pig's blood. It tastes a little irony.
It's, yeah, very irony.
Yeah.
Very irony?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, like oh,
iron.
Like iron, because it's
not
blood.
Like, oh, isn't it?
Like having like pennies, like when you cut your finger and you're like,
like
put it in your
you
mouth.
Know, like
metallic,
when, you,
yeah,
when you're drinking
metallic,
a shot
yeah.
glass full of blood, it's like that. But more solid.
Okay, now I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It comes with their English breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Tuesday to me.
Yeah.
Huh.
Boy.
Just drink blood on Tuesday.
It's exciting.
Interesting. This, because you haven't listened to many of the episodes of this podcast,
God,
and that's okay.
Don't, you're like chastising her. 15 demerits, you know? Like,
but,
that's a lot of demerits.
But I wanted to say that a lot of the people that listen are students and people that want to get into the film industry. And I wanted to see if you had any advice for anybody that wants to be in the industry. Should they do film? Should they do TV? Should they write, direct?
They just shouldn't.
Shouldn't do anything?
No.
Okay, cool.
Just try.
Is this a competition thing? Like,
figure something else out.
Yeah.
It's mine.
No.
Well, because a lot of people say, like, especially directors, I think Rosemary Rodriguez we had on, and she said, if you can think of yourself doing anything else, you should do that thing.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. If you can do something else, do that.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Even maybe if it's, like, robbing banks, that's probably
I was
going to
say, like,
lucrative.
Serial killer?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, the day rate on bank robbing is way better than
exactly.
any set.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, like, you have to have multiple skills. That would be what I would suggest.
Yeah.
Because if you're just waiting around for calls, that's not a good thing. And also have a couple passions, like, so you have your goal, but then, and you should be completely committed to that, but also find some sort of happiness in other things that you do, like, whether it's, like, anything else, any other hobby or what have you, because if you just find fulfillment in your career stuff, first of all, it's never going to happen quickly enough. Second of all, it's never going to be enough, period. Like, because the bar always gets raised, right? So you're like, if only I could book a movie. And then you book a movie and you're like, but now I need more. You know, if only I could book a series regular. And those people are all still doing the exact same thing. So it's like, I think having other things that keep you grounded and fulfill you in life as well. And then also, like, having multiple things that you can do, because if you're just a director, where are you going to get your scripts, and where are you going to get your financing, and, like, what are you going to do in the, you know, a movie takes a year, what are you doing outside of that, you know?
Right.
So what do you do that's outside of the industry, just to...
Are you challenging me to say yoga?
No, I wasn't. You said it, not me. I also just realized that looks like a picture of a pig being stabbed.
Is that not?
Oh.
Yeah, it's like a
sorry
heart. It's okay.
Okay. I was just, we were talking about not eating meat, and then there it is.
Well,
just
an
organ being.
Oh yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Super.
Sorry, yoga.
Yeah, we were back on to yoga.
No, I do. I work out a lot, and then I paint. And I write.
Are these yours? Any of this?
Not that one, but that one's mine.
Oh,
the pig.
The great. Well, I'm the asshole.
And then, like, various other pieces around here.
Can I talk to you about painting for a second?
He absolutely loves painting.
And I suck at it.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm trying to get. You don't. I mean, clearly, because that's hanging on the wall, and mine is hanging in a dumpster.
It's my mom that requires me to hang them.
Your mom requires you to hang them?
Yeah, she's like, these are good. You should put them up. I'm like, these are embarrassing.
What is that process like for you? Is it soothing? Is it comforting? Does it drive you crazy? Is it somewhere in between?
I just like to create. Actually, what started it was that I was too cheap to go buy art. And I was like, I can do that for sure.
Right, HGTV has taught us a lot.
I can make a couple squares and circles on.
I can frame
things.
This piece of wallpaper and call it
exactly.
Something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's where it started. And then I, like, actually started enjoying it. And what I like to do most is kind of like this Robert Rauschenberg, like...
I don't know who the hell that is.
He's an amazing artist.
Okay.
And he does, like, pop culture reference kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's like a collage.
Mm-hmm.
But then you, like, I don't know, you can, like, rip things up that already exist and then claim them as your own when you put them back together in a different way, right?
Nice.
Yeah.
I have a Teddy Ruxpin that I can claim as my own then. Because... Sorry, go on.
Yeah, so I really like doing that kind of stuff.
Is it something, because I'm finding that if it's not going well, I just want to, like, stab something.
Oh, yeah.
We used to have 4 cats. Now we have less than 4 cats. but if it's going well, then it's very satisfying and soothing. So,
well, yeah, you start every painting full of hope and, like, oh yeah, this is gonna be the best one I ever make.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
And then you take one stroke, and you're already pissed off. You're like, this is not going how I wanted
everybody.
It to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a frustrating process, and I don't have much time to paint right now. But
right.
I wish I did.
Well, it's okay.
You have cats?
We have 3 cats.
You guys live together?
Andrew and I
those
do.
Two do.
You know what's interesting about guys with cats?
Here
we go.
They're masochists.
You know what? I think that describes both of
us. We did not need the cats to know that, but
yeah, guys,
we could have saved ourselves
well,
a lot
I haven't
of frustration.
Told them.
show her the scars on your back from all the lashes.
That's not from the cats. That's from JJ.
Yeah, it's from the whips and the chains. I know.
That's our hobby.
So wait. Okay. So what is masochism? What is the definition of that?
It's when you love.
Come on, Harvard, impress me.
Is it the giving or the receiving? Because isn't there like
it's
a different?
It's deriving pleasure from pain.
Ah, okay.
So it's the receiving.
Interesting.
Yeah. So masochism sadism came from the Marquis de Sade.
Okay.
And masochism came from a writer called Leopold von Sacher-Masoch, who wrote a play called Venus and Furs.
Okay.
And which
I'm following.
There's I am Harvard too.
Education.
I think Polanski just made a remake of, or I don't know if it's a remake or an original, you know, an adaptation of Venus and Furs. And that's like the whole thing, right? The fur is like what gets this guy out.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like a woman who's draped in furs and has like a whip.
Huh.
Yeah. Is that why I've been digging this hot screw into my thigh since I said that?
How's it?
And
that's
smiling.
Why. There's your answer.
Huh?
There's a
interesting.
I have a method.
Oh, for sure.
Oh boy,
that's for another podcast.
You know, we've learned a lot about ourselves today.
I mean, we are miserable with these cats.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
They're all in the car right now. Windows rolled up. Heater blasting. Any other hobbies outside of? You said you like to travel.
I do like to travel.
What's your favorite place you've seen?
Well, I loved London. London was my favorite place.
Word.
Until I went back there recently after Bulgaria, which had spoiled me. Because in Bulgaria, you live like a king.
Right.
And you can do whatever you want, and it's like $2.
Yeah, you just throw money at any problem you have, right?
Yeah, you like go out and you're like...
making it rain.
Yeah. They have to explain.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
And then in London, you're like very poor.
Yes.
Like no matter how much money you have, unless you're from like Dubai, you're super poor.
I remember I wanted to live in London. I was looking at places, and I was like, oh, the price isn't too bad. I mean, it's like it's a little steep for rent, but it's not the craziest thing I've ever heard. And then I realized, no, I did the conversion, and I was still like, it's not sure. It was weekly that I was looking at, not monthly.
Shit.
And so I was like,
that's a big mistake.
So that's why I lived 3 hours north of London instead, because it wasn't quite as. And in fact, it's interesting when you go, because I was there as a student for a master's degree. I'm kind of smart.
Yeah.
And when
you just went out of the country for a master's
degree, you got the paper to prove it.
Whatever. Yeah, it's a thing on my wall. With some crayon scribbles on it. But they give you a certain amount of money as like a scholarship. And I guess if you're living within the city of London, they'll give you like £1,000 more than if you live anywhere else in England. So that's how expensive.
So you just made every possible wrong decision? Is that it?
I've made a lot of poor choices in life.
For sure.
Anyway.
So you had to commute 3 hours to school?
No. I went to the University of Wales.
Okay.
But I never had to go to Wales for it. It's very confusing.
So like you went to London for an online school at Wales?
No, it was like an extension program. So I lived in Newcastle, England.
Oh, so they had like a building.
So you could have done it from here.
Theoretically.
We're asking too many questions here, I think.
Shit, I never thought of it. Well, I had to go to classes, though.
Okay.
So I went to classes. It's like if UCLA has an extension program, but you're not going to the UCLA campus.
Okay, gotcha.
It's okay.
It's fine.
You opened that can of worms, not us.
We're proud of you, man.
Hey, I'm writing an episode of TV right now.
That's true.
I've done something with my life.
Good job, buddy.
Thanks. Sorry, back to you. you're done?
Do you have anything else to promote? Like your Twitter account or anything like that?
Yeah, if people want to follow you and just give you mad props and love, how do they do that?
Oh, I would love that. I've been trying to Instagram more. The whole social media thing is something that's very new to me.
You're doing a good job, though.
You think so? Because that's how we met, social media.
Yeah.
So, and you, I mean, it's okay.
Well, the good thing about what you're doing, like, with Instagram is some people are like, here's the copy of Moby Dick that I'm reading right now. And you're like, that's fine. But, like, you're posting often enough to stay relevant and on people's minds, but not so often that it's like, who cares? And it's like you're saying something interesting, like you're posting pictures of art that's interesting or, you know, like when you were in London, that kind of thing. Now I sound like a stalker, but anyway.
Hey, no, that's
so.
I like that someone's watching. Every time I post, I think, like, what is Andrew going to say? He's definitely going to say some sarcastic thing.
You didn't mention my school bus response, which I thought was one of the stronger ones.
I almost actually, one time, put you in my caption, because I was like, he's going to say something ridiculous about this. And then I think you did. I can't remember what photo it was.
That means so much to me. You have no idea. I finally feel validated.
Hey, Andrew, what was your favorite post of hers from 2012?
She wasn't on there in 2012. She didn't join until 92 weeks ago. Loser. I don't know.
Amazing.
You always give a better answer than I think you're going to.
You know, he's clever. Like
I'm a magician with words.
And a magician with magic too, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
Did you bring a deck of cards
today? I thought about it and then I forgot.
It's okay.
Oh man.
Sorry.
Yeah, we could do another magic trick for the listeners to listen to, which I listened back to it.
Well, I was thinking about
really
that today
bad for our listeners because it's like it's really hard to follow what we were doing.
Well, yeah, I did a magic trick for a guest, and then she was like, "Holy shit!" And I was like, "Cool, like that doesn't." I don't know.
We were trying to narrate, but it didn't really work out as well as we wanted it to.
Yeah, it's like
she's picking a card now.
Like, putting it back in the deck. All right.
He's taking the card back out. Oh, there's some sleight of hand going on. Yeah.
I can't give you proper technique.
You hate it when that happens, Bob. No, anyway, you're doing a good job.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
weird that.
But how could they follow you? What is your Instagram?
Oh, it's my name, at @CastileLandon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it for Instagram as well?
Yeah, it's all the same for everything. I got lucky because nobody has my name. Yeah.
You have a very unique name,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
That's kind of this is why people give me crap because I have a Hotmail email address.
Uh huh.
Because I refuse to get a Gmail because I can't get AndrewZuber@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah.
But then people just don't read your emails if it's from @Hotmail.com.
It's fine. I didn't want them to read them anyway.
Like when they meet you, like if you just have like email interaction with someone and then they meet you in person, like I was expecting you to be 72 with that Hotmail account.
I got it when I was 14. Here's what happened.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a second? I was in a chat room called 8-Ball Chat.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's a masochism.
I think it means exactly what you think it means.
Not 8-Ball, like,
it's just
cocaine or whatever. And this girl was like, you should get email. And I was like, yeah.
What's that?
And then 5 minutes later, I got back on. I'm like, sorry, my mom picked up the phone, so I got kicked offline. And then she was like, go to Hotmail. LOL. And I was like, what does LOL mean? And
why is this mail so hot?
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's going to be like steamy. It's not steamy.
It's pretty
the chat room may have been, though. Isn't that like the point of chat rooms?
Yeah.
He
went into the chat room looking for love. He came out with a Hotmail account.
Yeah. Age, sex, location.
Which has stayed with me longer than any woman ever has.
Yeah, your Hotmail account's been the most loyal thing in your life. Yeah. Terrific. Great. So
anywho.
Do you have any other projects that you want to promote? Anything else that's coming out that we haven't seen?
No. Oh, you know what? I actually just found out from a friend that one of my movies is on Netflix now, like as of yesterday.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. I'm excited because like now people will actually watch it.
Yeah.
As opposed to when they had to pay for it and they would not watch it.
Yeah.
So that's called I Believe in Unicorns, and I executive produced that.
You didn't know that it was on Netflix until someone told you?
No, I didn't.
Wow.
I think it just went up on Netflix. But, I knew that it had come out. It was on...
Okay.
It was, like, one of the Vimeo movies, because they're trying to do, like, their on-demand program.
Yeah.
And I think this was one of their first on-demand movies, although I don't know. And now it's on Netflix. And I have another movie on Netflix called Sex Ed.
That's how I found you.
Is it?
That's how, yeah, I was like, it was interesting. I was listening to a Marc Maron podcast, and he had Haley Joel Osment on.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder what that dude's doing now. And then that popped up on the...
I watched that, too.
On the queue.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. I'm in it.
It was great.
Thanks.
She's the one in the fireman's outfit.
Yeah.
Oh. You were wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a fun one.
Was he cool to work with?
He's so lovely.
Yeah.
He's so lovely. Everybody on that was like probably the most fun I've had on set because everybody was just super cool.
You were hilarious in that movie.
Thank you. And the guy that plays my boyfriend in it is just like a friggin' star.
Yeah.
Glenn Powell. And he's on Scream Queens now.
Oh.
Nice. Yeah. And he was, he's just great. And everybody is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being in that.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching.
So we can come over to your house, I guess.
Thanks for being on this.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting us come to your home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we haven't killed you yet, so that's still pretty cool, right?
I know. We made it through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, we're still recording, technically.
Yeah. Right. You can't do that on air.
No, we have to give our Twitter handles out.
All right, Nadav, what do you? How can they follow you?
You can follow me at Very Nadav Show on Twitter.
Cool.
And on Instagram.
Oh. Does that mean you have another show that's just you?
I have a YouTube channel that I have not added anything to it yet for a couple months so far. But, you know...
Good start.
It's coming. Yeah. It's coming.
Yeah.
You took the first step.
Yeah, just check every day. And
yeah, I'm sure people will follow
you. Up very soon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, where can people follow you?
I'm at The Real Zuber.
Sweet.
Because there are a lot of fake accounts.
Right.
Out there.
There's so many Andrew Zubers.
I had to verify myself because I can't get that blue checkboard.
To get The Real Zuber. Because you were like, I know there's going to be another Zuber that's going to try and outshine me.
There is. There's a guy in Canada who's a comedian, little better looking than I am. I know.
That's
hard to imagine.
That's impossible.
Thank you. You're sweet. And. I just
you're like chiseled for marble.
He's all right. Like we're friends on Facebook, and he's messaged me a couple of times, and he's like, "I'm gonna need to buy that domain name off you." And I'm like, "AndrewZuber.com is mine."
I can't have Hotmail.
Back
but I'm
off.
Have
you get AndrewZuber.ca.
Yeah, you can have AndrewZuber at Hotmail.com.
No,
of course
no,
he doesn't want.
Oh, I could trade.
He has your Gmail.
He's not gonna want to do that.
Oh, you could.
Maybe
swap
he would
it. Swap it.
That'd be pretty sweet.
No, but like, what's worth more to you?
I love having the website.
Yeah. Right, yeah. That's
and I good. Plus with the website, I can get Andrew at AndrewZuber.com.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just coming at you.
Yeah.
Like,
so you don't even have to swing. Have the Hotmail. People, you can deceive people.
Well, it goes through to my Hotmail, so I
but
can tell people that.
But initially, people don't think that it's your Hotmail.
Yeah, they have no idea who they're actually emailing.
Yeah.
And then I respond, and it comes from my Hotmail. And
yeah,
like,
that's all.
I got duped. JJ, what's your Twitter handle?
JJ Geiger 711. It's very easy.
Why 7-Eleven? Is that your birthday, or
it's
are you
my birthday.
Fond of the?
You just
okay.
love
it's my
Slurpees.
Birthday.
Yeah, that's what I was
in love with them.
Yeah. You can follow Early Call Time at earlycalltime.com. You can send us emails earlycalltime@gmail.com.
You can call us and text us at 267-225-CHAT.
That's 267-225-2428.
Chat.
And, really? Wait, what does that entail, guys?
What's that?
The phone number?
Message?
People just text you.
Yeah.
You know how you have a phone? And
yeah, I do have a phone.
We have a phone too, but like just for the podcast.
Oh, that's cool.
Not like an actual physical phone.
It's a Google Voice.
So, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
They call with questions or like if they have a horror story that they had, they could call in and say it.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. They also, when they write us letters, we read them on the air. We don't have one
nice.
Today, but.
Dear Abby?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a listener, it was last week or a week before. He was a listener. He moved from San Francisco to Ventura to go to film school.
I thought you were going to talk about the letter.
And
okay.
But then we had him on and we learned about his film school. And so,
oh, that's cool.
So you can listen and you can be on
it's
the show.
It's interactive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Aren't you guys nice?
Yeah,
not being
try.
Exclusive.
Yeah. So if you want to text us sometime, you
I
know,
probably will. Yeah.
You should.
We're standing by the phone waiting for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just every day. Just.
Or you can leave a voicemail.
Okay, well, who leaves voicemails anymore?
Well, he did.
We can play him. Yeah,
it's pretty interesting.
Because technically, I don't think we can answer it, can we?
Just
text
me. Yeah.
Like, whose phone would ring?
This was the best part. I had a guy that I went on a date with who was just, like, very overzealous.
Mm-hmm.
And he texted me, or I mean, he left me a voicemail. Hey, babe, it's me. I was like, I've gone on one date with you. We're not that close. I don't recognize you by your voice. I mean, you had a very strange voice, so I actually did. But
it was
and
Kermit
I had
the
caller
Frog.
ID, so that also told me. But it's just like,
it's
this
like we're
is
not
so
at the babe,
antiquated.
We're not at the babe level yet.
Yeah, and like,
yeah, the
it's
babe
me.
Is what would cracked me up.
It's
first of all,
strange.
It's always you, because who else? Hey, babe, it's someone else.
Exactly.
This is the neighbor.
Yeah. Like,
hey,
no.
Babe, I got your number from my friend Travis.
Travis, that dick, every time.
Yeah.
Are you ever going to change your number to have like an LA centric number? Or are you just like,
no.
There's no need to?
No, there's no need to.
Because I haven't.
And I have such an awesome number that.
What is it?
Yeah.
Can you share it with our audience?
No.
Oh, for sure. Okay.
FYI, no one listens to this show.
But it's like very easy
guy.
To remember.
I'll have to look. I just added it. And
you'll
and
look at it and you'll
it.
Be like, oh, I see.
Yeah, I get
she
you.
She should never change this number.
911.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
Weird that it was only three digits.
Yeah.
Thought it was fake.
Yeah, I didn't know that you could text from that number.
There's only four different digits in the entire 10-digit number.
Oh, good. This will make guessing a lot easier.
That's cool.
All right.
Yeah,
okay,
so
we're going to play this game.
Now you understand.
All right. Well,
Cool.
Thank you. Thank you again for being on the show.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
And yeah, it was really fun.
Cool. Yeah.
I guess you could just listen to the outro.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.